The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good afternoon.
My microphone is stuck. Hold on.
Here, let me pull it out. There we go.
Are you going to be like that today?
Yeah. I thought I would.
Oh, welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. This episode will be brought to you by Bill Cundiff, obviously. Yeah. So anyway, I'm Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
You already met Bill and our engineer.
And I'm the voice of reason, Bob Martin.
Yeah, the guy with all the buttons, actually. Is that where the reason is over there with all the buttons?
The guy with all the buttons is the guy with all the power.
Exactly. We just sit over here on the... Well, shoot, I couldn't handle the microphone this morning, so...
There was a handful.
So, obviously, I lose.
Oh, yeah.
I asked you to pull that side up so I could tell you. Okay, so, little information here. You can always find our information at wethepeopleradio.us. We air Sundays live from noon to 2 here at KCNR 1460 AM in Redding, California. Don't hold that against us that we happen to be in California. Yeah. I wasn't born here. I just live here now. Bill's actually from here.
Yeah, and it's, you know, used to be able to say it was by choice, but I guess it really is by choice. We could bail like many people are, but...
Anymore, you just
diehards.
We actually drove around last week up into Oregon. It's like, well, would it be better here? I don't know.
Well,
they have their own
nice.
Problems. Yeah. Everybody's got their own problems. Then Mondays, the show replays. Mondays, 1 to 3 Eastern Time on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network. And those guys are using WNJC 1360 AM. And then Conservative Commandos has come up with a pretty good idea. They've got a phone number where you can listen to all the programming that is in the Conservative Commandos Radio Network. You can listen to them over your phone. So maybe you have crummy, internet signal and, you know, streaming programs and stuff is a problem. You can always dial 832-999-1199. And I'll give you that again in a second. And I guess the programs just loop all the time on that number. They're on at the correct time when they normally air. So you'd find us Mondays from 1 to 3 on that network.
That would be 10 to 1 Pacific time.
Yeah.
But or 10 to noon Pacific time. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
10 to noon. Yeah, because you actually listen to it, huh?
Yes.
You listen at the different time.
I listen to WNJC on my phone.
There you go. See, there's always the phone option, too. But the dial-up number there is 832-999-1199. So if you have free cell minutes or, you know, you have a landline that doesn't cost you a long distance and you want to hear some good conservative radio, that's a second way to do it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have those internet radios, too, but I wonder if...
But then they could listen online.
They listen online.
There are a lot of folks who just don't have enough bandwidth to listen to audio on the web. So, we got that covered.
So, to our pals in Philadelphia, good luck to Villanova tonight.
Are they playing a ball game?
They're playing for the national title Monday night.
I need to get out more.
Which will be tonight by the time they hear this in Philadelphia.
So, do you have a prediction?
Yes, Villanova over North Carolina.
Good call. always pick the home team.
I'm not good at picking scores, so don't ask for that.
Okay, I won't do that. Since I didn't know who was playing, I'm not qualified to force you into a tiger box.
It's the end of March Madness.
The only person who would know less about it would be Bill.
Yeah, I'm not really into hockey, so, you know, I couldn't help you there.
Nice. Oh, my gosh. Well, And archives. I guess we should remind folks that we have programming that goes back into 2010. I think we were October of 2010 when this started. So the archives go way, 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 way back.
You just can't get enough. You can just get on there and get all you want.
We also have a lot of different topics. I had somebody call me the other day and tell me they were all angry, actually, about the monument. The proposed monuments, and they had never heard that was happening.
Up in Siskiyou and Modoc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I went back and looked in our archives. We were talking about that in 2011. So early 2011.
Yes, we've often been ahead of the curve.
So we were kind of way ahead of the curve. But that'll happen at the end of the year if you're curious about that. And I'm sure our guest will have commentary. That's one thing for our list today that we could chat about and educate people on. Seems like old news, but apparently it's not.
Nope. Some people are just hearing about it and thinking that it's like fresh.
Well, they also are kind of concerned they can do something about it, and I guess we should burst that bubble there before they get too far down the pipeline.
Yeah, unless you're the president, you really can't.
Exactly. So our guest today is Debbie Bacigalupi. My friend Debbie, let's see. Debbie, how did I meet you? Do you remember?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. We've got her in the cone of silence.
Hello, Debbie!
Debbie, are you there?
Oh, well, it would help if I took myself off mute.
There you are.
I'm like, okay, well, that was a great intro.
She fits right in on this program.
I'm just keeping you three on your toes.
Yeah, I think you just bang your head on the phone. Bill will be doing that lately. He'll hit the microphone. So I don't know why we met. Why did we meet a long time ago?
Well, it had to be the dam issue. I think, wasn't it when we were trying to put together that film, for the dams, you know, to expose, you know, the corruption behind dam removal?
Probably was.
And then shortly after that, and you're right, we were talking about monumentalization way back then. And we were also, that was, I think, the time that the wolf conversation started coming up in Montague, in Yreka. I think that was around 2010.
True. There's been a lot of stuff the last, you know, 6 or 7 years. And I don't know how much of it's been going on before, but boy, it just sure seems like a truckload came and dropped off issues, especially up where your folks live.
Yeah, issues. I hate to be someone who says, I told you so, but we have been spot on about everything so far. Spot on.
Yep. I remember when Bert Holzhauser up there in Doris, he would tell people, oh, we're going to have wolves. You know, we need to have a big meeting about it. People were like, we're not going to have wolves. That's silly. Who would do that?
Yeah.
And now look at them.
Yep. Yeah, now we're having wolf conversations.
Now we're talking about how to manage them, right?
Yeah.
It's not whether or not we should have them. Now it's how we're going to manage them, and mostly how they're going to get whatever they want and we're going to get less of it. And I did not post the video you sent me yesterday. Maybe you could describe it for people.
Yeah.
Since it's like,
well, and to tie it in with the monumentalization, I was just reading from Dr. Kaufman's, you know, the Wildlands Project map, which a lot of your listeners know about. This is where is a map that was, and correct me if I or fill in where I'm missing, but that was conceived by, it was a plan that was conceived by the United Nations under the Convention on Biological Diversity, which George Herbert Walker Bush, when he was president of the United States, gave millions of dollars to. I think it was somewhere in the, it might, $50 million or more is what was given. Don't quote me on that number. But it was millions of taxpayer dollars that was going in support of this simulated reserve and corridor system to protect biodiversity. And I was reading the back, and it says, magnitude of the Wildlands Project conservation must be practiced on a truly grand scale, claims Reed Noss. Reed Noss is a professor out of Florida, the state of Florida, and he is currently teaching the Wildlands Project and very, very proud of it. I think they call it the Wildlands Network these days. They constantly change the name. But this is what it says. It is an estimated, claims Reed Noss, that large carnivores and ungulates require reserves on the scale of 25 million acres, okay? So ungulates, livestock, hoofed animals, where wolves require 100 million acres.
Oh, man. Well, because they run really fast.
Right. And grizzly bears, 242 million acres. So I think that is, you know, we've been hearing about wolves, you know, around where my parents' ranch is in Siskiyou County, and how wolves, they did these computer modeling. Remember, this is all about scientific dictatorship, technocracy, computer modeling, and how they did this computer modeling of the Siskiyou County area. And I, correct me if I'm wrong again, I think what they modeled was something like 452 wolves or 472 wolves, something like that. But, you know, which is craziness. It's crazy.
Yeah, how could you possibly, they would just decimate everything that's in there. Oh, you know, and speaking of which, the wolf, that stupid video, oh, I don't know, what is it, 10 minutes long, you know, the wolves in Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah, they saved
the guy with the
British
accent.
They saved Yellowstone.
Yeah, they created more water in the river or something.
Yeah, they grew trees, they planted crops.
How the wolves were to... put the ecosystems back the way they were.
Yeah. The magical fairy tale that, actually, by their logic, since wolves hadn't been there for 100 years and they saved the ecosystem, they haven't had hunting in Yellowstone for 100 years. So theoretically, adding hunting would, you know, again, improve the whole scenario.
I'm gonna
push for that. Anyway, we were listening to Coast to Coast Radio the other night, I don't know, about a week ago, and this guy, he all of a sudden, he goes, well, he's talking about the Serengeti effect or something.
The Serengeti effect.
So he says, well, and you know that the wolves have changed Yellowstone, and Bill and I are like, huh? No. And sure enough, he practically recited the whole video like it was fact.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that video is the narrator, you know, supposedly an expert, doesn't even know the difference between an elk and a deer. Right there, people, come on.
Hey, he's English. They're much more sophisticated than we are. Come on. When you hear that voice, you just have to assume there's a lot of sophistication there.
Yeah,
and, you know, that video has gotten, what, millions of hits?
Oh, yeah.
Millions,
sure.
By a public that has, you know, is clueless in some areas that they need to be... educated on, and the video that Erin is talking about that I sent to her is a video that I took the other day, and it is one of our calves. He was just a couple months old, and while we were rounding up cows for cow spa day, you know, we do their nails and their hooves, and we you know, pet them, and we give them their vitamins, and they go through the chute, and they love it. And, you know, we give them a tattoo. And so anyway, we love our animals, and we take good care of them. And so anyway, when we were riding around on our horses trying to gather up cows, there was a calf that a little guy who was laying down in rocks and alive with his back half chewed out. So, and it's just grotesque. Flies in it, and it was already starting to rot, and he could still walk, but just imagining, and there's nothing we can do. I mean, that's the video that should be spread around, and millions and millions and millions of people should be seeing. Because there's so many people who want more predators, more grizzly bears, more wolves, more coyotes, and to protect all these, you know, predators. And give them more space, like Reed Noss wants, millions, hundreds of millions of acres, and that would really decimate our rural America community, as you know. And then you've got dam removal, which is another attack, and then you've got monumentalization, which is another attack. And so we're just sitting here going, we're feeling like we're getting, you know, attacked by predators, and I think it's the federal government. And you know the crazy thing, and you guys know this, and is that these wolves are being introduced. They're being, and Director Chuck Bonham said to me at that, we went to a dam removal meeting, Erin and I did, and a few others. We drove all the way down to Sacramento to be in this public meeting for the first time, like a true supposed to be public meeting about the Klamath River Dam removal.
And Sacramento, and that was handy as well, because there was probably no other place to have it, so the closest was Sacramento, is that right?
Right, and you know, nobody filmed it. I was the only one filming the whole thing. I think another person came in and filmed a little bit later, but not as much. But for the largest dam removal project in worldwide history, and me, little old Debbie, is the only one videotaping it Where was the media? Where were the newspapers? Where was the public? But, you know, that all these attacks from different angles, and in, you know, it's amazing to me that we are still have energy to fight back.
Yeah, because a lot of it is, it'd be easy to look at it and say, well, it's just too late. You know, they've got us all wrapped up with a bow on it, and we're never getting out. But, you know, it's interesting. The more people wake up to what's going on, the easier it's going to be to push back on it.
Yeah, that's why I hope ranchers and farmers and people who live out, actually anywhere, carry around a video camera, an audio device, anything to start recording what I'm going to call abuses to the people from the government or from other people for that matter, radical environmentalism, trespassing, all these different things, and expose it, get it out there, put it on YouTube, put it on Facebook, and ask people to share, because our demise will be that a public is not well educated and not educated enough to apply what Daniel Webster called the remedy. So make them intelligent, and they will be vigilant. Give them the means for detecting the wrong, and they will apply the remedy. But if people don't understand, you know, what is going on out there, if they're watching, you know, Villanova today and not paying attention to what's going on worldwide with the environment and with our government and all these, gosh, you know, just crazy issues, you might as well just sit and watch Villanova today and call it a day.
Well, you know, Debbie, I saw the video you're talking about with the calf, and I mean it was sickening. And I think what people really have to realize is that's one calf. Imagine what's happening out there with the deer population, with the elk population, the young animals that cannot run a wolf.
Right.
There's not gonna be much of a deer and elk population left in fairly short order, because the young ones are going to go first, and there'll be nothing to replace the herds we have now. So, I mean, we have to get on the ball with this.
We have to take a really quick break, Debbie. And you know what?
Sure.
Can you email me that video so I can post it? I don't seem to be able to get it from my text messages.
Sure. And, you know, maybe I'll put it on YouTube right now.
Ooh, that would be even handier. And I'll post that link.
It is on Facebook. It is on my Facebook. So for those who are on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page and find it.
Is it an easy one?
I made it public.
Is it an easy one to get to, your Facebook page?
Debbie.Bacigalupi. Or they can go to Aaron Ryan and find me through Aaron's friends.
Oh, so, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, we should. Your last name is Bacigalupi, correct?
Yes.
In other words, not easy.
Yeah, we'll spell it again.
It means kiss of the wolf.
It does?
Or wolf kiss is what the Bacigalupi means.
Wow, that's ironic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I guess there is such a thing as destiny.
Keep an eye on her, yeah.
Well, there is that, too.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish
for. That's right. She might be a biter.
We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Guessing with friends like the Defenders of Wildlife and Sierra Club, all the rest of them. Yeah, I think he's going to survive.
Yeah, he's going to make it. Hey, have you seen the new car commercial? I don't know if it's Subaru or whatever it is, where the guy, he goes out and he makes friends with a mama wolf, and then he lives with the
They all get in his car and they drive around,
and then, you know, they're all sad when he has to go back to the city, and, the wolves are your friend.
Is that a public disservice or what?
Oh, absolutely.
They're just fuzzy. I saw another one where little kid was in a... I don't know, it must have been a zoo or something. You know, a lot of times at the zoo, they have a big glass wall, and you can sit inside, but, you know, you're right up against one of the... It's either a tank with fish in it, Anyway, the setting of this one is a wolf cage, and so the kid is up against the glass with his face, like, pressed against the glass, and the wolf comes over and is, like, 2 inches from his nose, and it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's just how that would work.
Except
without that glass, it'd be just like that.
They're the dolphins of the forest.
There you go. That's totally true, too. That is the way they see them.
But, you know, I don't know if it's just me, but I've just noticed that if you watch...
The propaganda is everywhere.
It is. If you watch much television, you're starting to see more and more pro-wolf stuff out there. And I don't think that's an accident.
No, I agree, Bill. I absolutely know it's not an accident. These things, you know, you've got marketing teams who are their job is to study what is the fad coming up, you know, and to start marketing with that fad. And you see dog food now that's got that brand and
it's got the picture of the wolf on it.
They make the wolves look so beautiful, and which they are pretty animals, and I have to admit, you know, they're
gorgeous. It's funny when you bring up that dog food commercial. I think the slogan there is, you know, bring out your dog's inner wolf. And, you know, I look over at my dog, and, you know, he's sleeping on a pillow. You know, and it's like, I don't think there's much wolf in my dog.
I don't know. He did bite me in the face, however, I beg to differ. But.
Well, yeah, okay.
Stop feeding him that food.
We're watching for wolves now because we've heard that people have spotted them within, you know, within a few miles of our ranch. We have, so we go to bed now. We've always gone to bed hearing coyotes, you know, every once in a while. We're hearing them more and more. They're in bigger packs, the coyotes are, and now we're being told that, remember, it was not whether or not wolves would be here. If they would be here. They were telling us it's a matter of when.
Right. Where was the calf in that video?
The calf was in one of our weigh scales, an old weigh scale. So we put him in this boxed area.
Was that wolf or was that coyotes? You probably can't tell if it was a coyote or a wolf that did that.
We don't know, but... It was probably coyotes. If it was a wolf, it got scared off before it could do much more damage. But wolves only eat what they want, and then they take off. Where coyotes live in the world of this may be their last meal.
Right.
And carry off the different parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are not sure. But we had to take the calf back. He was only 2 fields over. I ran over to where the calf was found. It wasn't that far.
Right.
When people say, "Oh, well, you need to have 24/7,"
range, folks. Yeah, that's very economical.
Or you just put up flashing. I love fishing game. We'll just put up flashing lights, or you put these little pieces of cloth on the fence because that's going to frighten them away. I'm like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flaggery, and then you're supposed to play loud rap music and have big lights, and that only lasts for so long where the wolves get used to it. They're
How peaceful is that?
I was going to say, how relaxing.
Yeah, live in the country.
There's a book. You were talking about the propaganda. I have a book called The Three Little Wolves and the Big Bad Pig, and it's a children's book.
The Three Little Wolves
and the Big Bad Pig.
Wow.
No kidding.
No kidding. So there is a happy ending to our calf story, our killed calf. We had to euthanize it. There was no way that we could do reconstruction. It was going to be, the vet came, we called the vet right away, and he came out, and it's a big animal vet here in the valley. And he said that there is no way that the likelihood of this calf surviving is slim to none. It's going to be reconstructive surgery, constant care, constant cleaning out. Aaron, it was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting.
I can't believe he was still walking around.
And he's still, but you know, that's, you've got, we've got this, like, this, I don't know, this energy to live and survive. And, you know, he had that in him. He had that spirit, and it, which was, made it even harder to euthanize this little guy. And I watched the vet, you know, give him the shot, and just, and he still didn't want to die. He still didn't want to go. The vet had to give him several shots. And wow. Before he finally went. And, you know, it's just so sad. But here's the good story. Here's how it ended. We had another calf born the other day while we were working cows. And we don't know where this calf's mom went. She disappeared. We have no idea where this cow's, this little guy's, actually is a cow, a female cow, a heifer. We have no idea where her mom went and what her mom was. So all day when we're working cows, 10 hours. And so each cow that goes through the chute has her spa day, sniffs the little calf and goes on her merry, the cow goes on her merry way. So at the end of the day, we couldn't find the mom. So we tried to pair the new calf, this little heifer, up with the 429. 429 is the tagged calf that was killed or that euthanized after the predator attack. So 429 mom, we're now trying to pair up with this red heifer who we can't find her mom. And she lets, you know, when the calves aren't milking off the udders get really full off these cows. Cow is a female cow, female heifer. An adult heifer, and so you've got this swelling in the udder of milk, and so that it gets very painful, and they to relieve that pain, you know, that you milk the cow or the calf, you know, milks off the excess milk or the swelling milk. Well, she let this little red heifer suck off her, but she'd smell it and knew that it was not her calf. So she'd kind of kick her away, and we had to bottle feed this little heifer for a little while. And then we had, in one of the wolf movies that we've watched many, we just watched one the other day, because we are told it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you're going to have wolves. So what they did was they took the hide of the dead calf off of, like we did with the, I'm not explaining this very well.
Oh, I know, with the euthanized,
where I'm going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so we took some hide off of the dead calf, and we wrapped it around the little red heifer, and my dad cut the ear off of the dead calf and stuck it to the ear of the little red heifer. So she's got, I'm going to post this picture too. It's absolutely adorable. Here you have a little red heifer with a black fur coat around her, like a band from the dead calf, and a black ear. And then, oh my gosh, it's so funny. But anyway, the mom, the cow, smelled the hide and smelled her calf and started letting the red heifer suck off her. So good story, terrible story turned good.
How long did
I hope I explained that
how
well.
Long
this
does
is all new to us. This is all so new to us,
well,
as ranchers.
How long before the mom doesn't notice that it's different anymore and you can, you know, take all that off?
I think it's different. It's hard to tell. It's different with all cows. Sometimes you have great moms who would let any calf suck off them, and then you have some cows that are, you know, just they reject their own calves. So it's really hard to tell.
That's just like real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a ewe that was that way. We had a sheep that had babies and had lambs, and she didn't want anything to do with them. It's like, okay, I'm done with you. We had to bottle feed them. She wouldn't let them nurse.
I'm over the whole thing. Interesting. I guess there are bad parents everywhere, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, when we come back, you know what we have to do? We have to explain to people about monuments. We talked about it in the first part, but after I spoke with that guy the other day who was just learning about that, we should probably give people more information. Apparently that word hasn't trickled all the way out yet. So, in the meantime, we'll be trying to add these videos. I don't know if you sent them to me yet or not, but I will add Debbie's video so you guys know what we're talking about.
I don't have much internet service up here, so if there's a way you could pull it off my Facebook, I've been trying to while we've been talking.
I'm scanning my system because I have some sort of virus. Today is not a good electronics day.
I'll keep trying.
But it will get posted if it's not up there already.
Yeah.
Let's see. So you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online if, in fact, you don't have a virus and you do have good enough service. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Subtle.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, you've returned to We the People Radio. Where?
More choice cuts coming up.
Before we go to monumentalization, can I just say a couple more things about those bulls?
No, obviously we're on a very tight schedule and we're extremely rigid with our format.
There are other impacts which we learned about during all the meetings, Aaron, that you and I were going to all over California to try and educate people on the wolf. In some of the meetings, we were told we should be shot as ranchers. I mean, it just, and in one, Aaron, your story about the little girl who was like, oh, I want to, she had her little wolf.
Oh, yeah, she's wearing her little wolf hat, and she said she was begging the commission, please list the wolves. I want my 3-year-old to have the opportunity to meet one in our backyard.
Hmm. Yeah, and
yeah,
we're
that leaves you kind of speechless.
We're not being told about the deadly diseases that the wolves have, that they carry, the 50 or more parasites, one, you know, the Hydatid disease, which is deadly to humans and deer and babies and dogs and even, you know, cattle and the wolves themselves. So we don't hear about those things. They don't want to talk about those things.
Truly, and, you know, in case we skip over it and somebody hasn't heard our litany of wolf programming, please do go back, actually, in our archives. There's a lot of information. You don't have to take our word for it. But that Hydatid disease creates cysts in the person or the animal, and they just eventually explode. And when those cysts blow, you die. But you could be carrying them around for months. And so all those people living in the city are like, well, it's a good day not to live in the country. Yeah, nice try. It could be you get out at a rest stop and you have a pet. And your dog runs or, you know, I'm assuming it's people don't let their cats out at rest stops. I don't know. Some people probably do. So your dog runs around at the rest stop and you've had wild animals there at night, maybe when nobody was around. Deer who carried some of the wolf feces on their feet. Drop it in the rest area. You pick it up. Now it's in your vehicle. Now your kids are playing with the dog. I mean, there's it's a real easy, you know, just is not that complicated. You don't have to be in the back country of no man's land in order to come in contact with this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're noticing, and there's the other thing I wanted to say is, and we're noticing this already, that our animals, our livestock, are not behaving the way they used to. There is, what we say is, there's something out there. There's something that's been in our horses and something that's been in our cows that my dogs for 6 years have been in and about and around our, we've got seven horses up in the higher mountains, and my dogs, they chase my dogs out of the fields now, and they've never done that before. They've, our horses have always gotten along with our dogs, and now all of a sudden they're scattering out of them. The dogs are now afraid of the horses, and they've never been afraid of the horses, and the horses are pushing out the dogs. And the same thing is happening around our cows. As we work them on cow spa day, they are more agitated, which makes it more dangerous for us to work around the cows. We call them crazy. You know, we'll go, say that cow is wild. Well, now we're getting more and more wild cows, which we want because we want the cows, you know, able to defend themselves, and which they have to do with mountain lions and coyotes, and sometimes we get bears. But we've never had wolves, and so anyway, it's just not a future that we're looking forward to. And I truly believe that it is to push or nudge ranching into disfavorable, hard to do, dangerous, and just like monumentalization will be. It's to take a huge swath of land and protect it away from human use. So how's that segue? How is that?
I think it's a fabulous segue. And, you know, just I'm always in the back of my mind, I always hear the people who don't have the opportunity to live in areas like we do, where they have a lot of open land. And just in case you guys thought you were going to slide by on this one, yeah, the price of beef is going to go through the roof.
Yep.
I mean, that's the ultimate, you know, when you break it down to a consumer level, this has a huge effect on everybody except the grass eaters.
Well, we were just talking about it on the break that, you know, as this progresses, it's going to cost more and more money to basically process these cattle because they're going to be harder to handle. You're going to spend more time.
Few people doing it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's going to take more time to vaccinate and you know, just basically process them through, and that price is going to be reflected in our wallet. I mean, you can't raise it for nothing.
Not just the food, all the thousands of byproducts from asphalt to tires on cars, on bicycles. I love to tell vegans, you cannot be a vegan or a vegetarian in modern day society because something you've touched today was brought to you by livestock, by cattle.
Yeah, I think the most surprising thing is tires.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that I just didn't see coming. I saw that on a list one time. I was like, get out of here. Tires?
Yeah,
there's
tons.
Well,
it helps keep the elasticity. I think it's stearic acid. It might be the fatty acid, but same thing. But it glue is, so anything that sticks together is the probability of livestock being in, byproduct being in there is high. Elmer's glue is a cow. Elmer is a cow.
Oh, so yeah, right, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yikes,
Jello,
that was kind of obvious,
all the different
huh?
things that come from livestock. So for those people who think that wolves are cute and cuddly and we need more wolves and less livestock, I would say start looking at your pocketbook, start looking at the things that you use every day. Don't be a hypocrite. If you like wolves over livestock, wolves over cows, quit riding your bike, quit driving your car, quit using asphalt, quit using desk insulation, sheetrock. candles, shampoo, soap. I could go on all day.
Well, it's in Jell-O, so you can't go to the hospital anymore. That's out.
Oh, you're kidding.
Don't get hurt. All right, we have to take one more quick break. We're going to come back. We're talking to Debbie Bacigalupi this morning, this afternoon. Sorry, it just felt like morning. And I'm time traveling, so I'll just shut up now. Bye. good song.
That I see walking in these woods. Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad woman would want.
Voice with you. Listen.
I don't think little big girls should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Oh,
big eyes you have. Hey, Debbie, is this like a family theme? This could be like your family theme song.
No.
Not going to do it.
So it's good enough for me to play at a wedding, but not good enough for your family theme song? What are you saying?
Oh, we just even hate the hearing wolf, you know.
I know.
It sends chills up your spine, again, because they said it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when they'll be here, and they're already here.
Well, the you know, and the other big deal with this is they're not endangered. There are a zillion of them. The whole endangered thing is a complete scam, and at the federal level, there's a huge move to delist them. Because if we do let this run away like it was a long time ago, it took us, what, 100 years to eradicate wolves? I mean, that is a hard, hard job.
Well, and obviously we didn't eradicate them because they're here. So when people say they're extinct or they were, and that's not true. They've never not been here.
They were just not on us, you know. So now we've got to get them. I guess we have to let them ruin our lives again and bring all sorts of disease so we can live like a third world country and then we can rediscover the West all over again, I guess.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
And people need to speak out. At the meeting that I was with you, Aaron, in Sacramento about the dam removal, I went up to California's Fish and Wildlife, by the way, formerly Fish and Game, right?
Fish and Game, yeah.
Yeah, because it was about hunting, and now it isn't. Yeah.
Now, and once Chuck Bonham took, who is an attorney for Trout Unlimited, and he also worked in Peace Corps, so he has that, in my opinion, a more radical tent to him when it comes to the environment. And I went up to him, and I said, the last time I saw you was at the Wolf meeting, and he said, oh, you were filming me. And I said, no, not that time, and I said, so he came up to me and said, you know, Debbie, we're not bringing them into California. And I said, I would say that too, Chuck, if I were you. And he said, we're not bringing them in. And I said, oh, well, it's interesting that as soon as Fish and Game Commission said we're going to protect them, once a wolf crosses the border into California, we're going to protect that wolf, you shoot it, you go to jail and you're fined, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars, but you're guilty until proven innocent. And so what I said to Chuck is, I wouldn't admit that I was bringing in the wolves either. But we need to say something. And I was really proud, although I was very scared to say something to him, I was very proud of myself for putting him on notice. And that's what we, the public, need to do. Is be loud and proud, because what we are sharing is the truth. We are spot on about all this stuff, and it's not because we're more intelligent than anyone else. We, Aaron, you, Bill, we, Bob, we all spend our lives studying this stuff, researching it, going to meetings, showing up on phone calls, being open to hearing the other side, and then putting the pieces together of this big picture. And the big picture is not pretty. The big picture is a movement like monumentalization, where you're going to force people out of the rural lands and into mega regions or city states, where we're moving away from what the United States is set up as right now, which is a nation state system where each state is sovereign. Each state is supposed to be represented by the people who live there, right? That's where the power is. But now you have this overarching system called the federal government, who is supposed to be limited and defined in its power, taking up more land, more water, as Obama said in his State of the Union in 2014, that under his administration, no administration in history has protected more water and more land than his. Welcome to the 21st century of environmentalism.
Well, and we've seen his EPA obviously is incredibly good at protecting water. Gold King Mine.
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, we're gonna take a hard break here. When we come back, let's get into the monument issue. You've mentioned it a couple times. I want to make sure people understand how big a deal that really is.
We're just
is.
Like stringing them along.
Yeah.
This is like the news. You know, there's a story at the beginning of the news. They don't air till the end, so you can pretty much go to sleep till the end.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you only have 5 minutes to take that nap because we're coming right back. And in the meantime, you can find us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us, and we'll be back with Debbie Bacigalupi.